Thank you. One little announcement, if I can get all the names. Josh, Mindy, Carson, Abigail, Cheryl, Sean, and Barry. We're going to try to do recording on Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. At least we'll try. All right. So, be in prayer for Rachel. She slipped and fell while trying to paint. And she messaged me the other day, and she says, "I don't think you want this face in front of a camera." So be in prayer, because I imagine she's in a lot of pain right now. Also be in prayer for our missionaries who are out trying to raise support. Praise God. The Steinbarts are up at 97%. And Jimmy, I think he's probably over 90% the way that he draws in support. Last I knew, he's at 90%, but usually he stays at a church until they support him. So just keep in prayer for him. And then I just want to say Tim Bauer was so pumped about hearing the news of us being able to help basically provide this surgery for this infant child. And I'm going to try to get a picture of this kid and show him to you. But then I think it'd be kind of cool to follow along in his life as he grows up. I think that'd be really cool to be a part of that. But then also, there's another, the Woodards, they are at 70%. You say, COVID stops missionaries getting support. They have gone up over 20% during COVID. God is awesome. You know, just they were when they announced back in March when we took them on, they said they believed they could be at 50% based on the support that not had yet come in yet. They churches hadn't started yet, but they were seemed to be promising. Okay, so they were hoping for that, and so now they're up over 70%. And so praise God for that. And just God's doing a wonderful work. Another prayer request. I know I've got a load for you, but Rusty, he put out a prayer request, you know, getting to the end of the semester. They're coming up on their exams, and Molly singing that song, "Lord, I Need You." He sent me a picture the other night saying that he needed lots of prayer. He says, "This is how we stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning studying for exams." He had his feet up on his mattress, and he was in a push-up position and reading his book, studying. So he was doing anything he possibly could to keep himself awake, trying to study. I'm not sure how much he could get out of that. His stinky shoe was underneath his nose, too. Wow. So be in prayer for him. He has to go beyond coffee and espresso to get to that point of staying awake. And I know he has Greek. So just keep in prayer for him. The thing that got me through Greek is they have programs for this that I could just look on the computer and it'll tell me what this word means. So I was praising God that we are in the technological age. But he still has to complete this course. So lots of things that you could be in prayer for, and praise God for how he worked with the littles and that update as well. It's just so cool how he just combined two churches in the midst of COVID, bringing them together, something that they were both praying for, and yet brought them together so that they could move forward and that they could actually have a congregation. Be in prayer for the Barbers as well, because they have lost a few members since COVID because they weren't able to have church due to the fact that they were having church in a school. And they're still having problems. So they now are renting a church for Sunday nights. You know, I don't believe they're able to have Sunday mornings as of right now, if I read it correctly. So they're renting a church building another church to have host their service on Sunday nights, but they are looking at a building to buy that just came up that they've seen. It went from $650,000 down to $500,000, and they're looking at trying to get that. So lots of things to be praying for. God still works during COVID, and I'm just thankful that he does. So you need to go over to Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40, I'm excited about this. We're going to be talking about the beasts of the land and sea. And two different ones that, I don't know what your thought is on this, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on this based on the descriptions of what God places in his word for us to be able to see. But based on this, I'm going to give you a little bit of a story as we were coming back from Michigan. Now, many of you know we were in Michigan, and yes, it did snow while we were there, and it was the perfect type of snow because my sister-in-law has a jacuzzi, and I got to go out in the jacuzzi while it was snowing, so I was just there enjoying it in the warmth, and then it melted the next day. That's the best type of snow. It's gone, and then we had a great time, and thank God for the safety that he gave us. But on the way home, you know, everybody always asks me, when are you leaving? When, because they're hoping I'm gone, you know, as soon as possible, right? And so my father-in-law says, well, when are you heading out? You know, you need to make your trek back. And I said, well, you know, every time I give a time, it's usually a half an hour later. Whenever you're trying to go on vacation, isn't that the truth? Or is for some of you, maybe it's an hour, hour and a half later, 3 hours later, finally you get to going. And so I said, well, you know, let's just give a horrible time to get out of here, and hopefully we can make it out by then. So 10 o'clock, but it'll probably be 10:30 since I just said 10 o'clock. All right. And so we got up that morning and we ended up leaving at about 9:30, in between 9 and 9:30, and I was so excited. I mean, I was just so pumped that we could actually get out before the time that I stated. So we get over to Lapeer, and we have a friend that works in Starbucks, so she made a mobile order for us, since she gets free stuff, and we went by, and we went in through Starbucks, and we picked it up, and we were heading on our way, and all of a sudden, we get a call from Keeley's mom. You left like 3 boxes here. Are you kidding? Now, I'm not going to tell you whose fault it was, but anyway, it wasn't mine. she says, you left 3 boxes here, and you might want to come back and get it because the kids' Christmas presents were in those 3 boxes, okay? And so here it is. We're 20, 30 minutes down the road. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. So I was not very patient in the moment. And Keely's like, you okay? And I just kept silent the whole entire time. You know, it's better just to stay silent so nothing comes out that shouldn't come out. So we headed back. And we got there, found out we actually left more than that. I don't know how that works, but you know, when you have kids, you know, that's just what happens. So we ended up getting everything, and now by the time we're actually getting out of there, guess what time it is? 10:30, okay? Just exactly the time that I was saying. So then when we get down the road, and we got about an hour away. See, we took Gus along, and if you don't know who Gus is, it's our rodent dog that we have. And you know, he doesn't always mind. All right, because I am the head of my household, and he does what I want him to do, right? He doesn't always do exactly what I want him to do. So about an hour in, all of a sudden, we stopped for gas, and we smelled something. Our dog had vomited in our van. We're thinking, oh my goodness, what else is going to happen? I mean, come on. Seriously, dog, you couldn't have just waited until you got out in the yard? I mean, come on. Seriously, don't you know we're going to stop at some point? I mean, couldn't you control that for a second? I wish I could just say, dog, do what I want, and he would do it. But does anybody have pets in here? Do they do what you want? Okay, does the pigs in the pig pen, Josh, do they put it all in one spot and then, you know, make sure that it cleans up, you know, gets cleaned up, or do you have to send Maya out to clean it up? Yeah, Maya, okay, all right. So we just know that animals just don't do what we want them to do, correct? I mean, Pastor, he's given illustration after illustration of how these deer don't just walk out right in front of him so he could shoot one. And if you have a problem with shooting deer, where do you think meat comes from, by the way? By the way, Ted Cruz got a monster buck. Just want to let you know that. And I also really ticked him off. While I was there, we went over to some friend's house, and a couple years ago, I shot my first buck just after supper. Just after supper at my friend's house, which we had this planned, you know. He says, oh, a few bucks will come in, don't worry about it, and you can shoot it, okay? So all of a sudden, we just finished up supper. We haven't gotten to dessert yet. And all of a sudden, I saw this 8-point buck just walk up right behind the house. So I got my muzzle loader out. We opened the kitchen window, and I shot it. From inside the house? Yes, I did. We took the kids in the other room, okay? Okay, and it was exhilarating. I didn't have to go out and sit out in the cold for, what was it, 48 hours? He really loves me right now. But then I also sent him a picture while I was up in Michigan. You know, in that same spot that my buck came in? There were 3 bucks all together. How does that happen? Well, Pastor wasn't there. So they decided to show up. And then a couple days later, a 10-point buck came in. It's super cool. Super cool. But yeah, he's got some long suffering going on right now. But the thing is, we would love to control animals, right? And just make sure that they do whatever we want them to do. Has anybody been bucked off of a horse? How fun is that? It's not. And then did you chase down the horse afterwards? Oh, it stood by the fence. Okay. All right. Well, that was nice. My sister got bucked off a horse, and how many miles did it go? 2 miles or so. And that my parents tried to chase it down in the fields, and you know, that's just what happens, right? Sometimes you just can't control it. If I would have just said, you know, stop, it would have stopped right then. No, there was an issue. You say, what are you trying to get to? There's a point. There's a method to my madness here. But here it is. God's going to introduce 2 different animals that you have not met before. You've never gone up and fed at the petting zoo. You've never gone up and petted, you know, their back or anything like that. You've never wrestled with. I mean, did you hear about lately was it a lion or a tiger that almost ripped that guy's arm off just a couple days ago or a week ago, something like that? I wonder if he was trying to pet the lion or the tiger right beforehand, okay? But you've never gone up to these animals and oh, it's so nice, you want a treat. You've never done that. And yet God will state this, that he has full control and he can say whatever he wants to these animals and they will do exactly what he says to do. And you say, what does that have to do with Job's situation? I'll let you know just in a few minutes. All right. So as we get into this in Job chapter 40 and verse 6, we'll see here in verse 6 through 14, the challenge and the rebuke by God. So starting in verse 6, it says, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. Now, do you remember what I said about that? Okay, that's when they would take their garment and they would tuck it into their belt so that they could be able to run, so they could be able to do the job that they needed to do. Or I gave a little bit different of an illustration, pull up your pants so you can actually walk. Okay, and that's kind of in our modern day and age when pants are sagging. It's like, pull up your pants so you can actually, you don't have to walk like this. You remember that illustration a couple weeks ago? I know you slept since then. All right, but that's kind of the idea that you're getting in your mind. And he's saying, be a man. Stand up, take it. Have you ever gotten those words before? Stop crying, be a man. Take it like a man. Here, let me slap you again so you can feel it, right? I mean, have you ever heard these things? Well, God is here saying that he answered out of this whirlwind again, out of this storm. I'm wondering if it's the same type of storm that took down the house of his children, on top of his children. But it says, gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Do you remember who else stated that same exact thing? Elihu. So is your righteousness better than God's? So do you want to be so quick to defend your righteousness that you'll be able to sacrifice God's character in order to defend yourself? That's exactly what Elihu stated. And that's, again, another reason why I've stated that Elihu doesn't seem to be the another bad friend. Seems like he prepared for the message God was going to give by laying it out, by laying out this preemptive strike, by saying, hey, this is how it is. You need to see God and who he is. This is who he is, his character. This is how he works. We're not going to limit God, okay? We're not going to put him into a box. We're not going to put him into our formula. And God is in turn saying the almost the exact same thing that Elihu stated by saying, wilt thou break down my judgment? Wilt thou cast that aside for your own righteousness to defend who you are? You know, that's an interesting point. Side note, in thinking about how you debate other people or argue with other people, whenever you get into strife, does it make it easier for you to win the argument if you attack the other person? Well, it feels like it in the moment. Well, you never, or you always, or you. Have you ever heard those statements? You're just dumb. So how did that help the situation out? You think you're going to win an argument by doing that? By cutting down the other person? By taking away from who they are as a human being? Even exaggerating the point? Say, where are you getting at? See, Job was doing what he could to make sure that he was right. Even by taking away from, he was willing to sacrifice what could be God's character for the sake of his righteousness. I just want this to be over with. So I'll do this and say this in order for it to be over. Have you ever done that? I think we all have. Did it help anything? Obviously, God's here right now stating, okay, do you really think it was wise to discredit me in order to defend your own self? He's going to go on and he's going to get into these verses and talk about how it goes on. It says, hast thou an arm like God in verse 9? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Okay, go on. Change your circumstances. Go ahead, Job. Return all your riches. Take away all of your boils. Take away all of the horrific circumstances that have been put on you. Go ahead. Can you speak like I speak? I Obviously, the answer is no. Does he have the same power? In verse 11, cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud and abase him or humble him. Go ahead. How much power do you have? Go ahead. Go ahead and spread out your power. Go ahead. Do the deed. Can you place judgment on a huge group of people? I think not. As it goes on, look on every one that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret or put grave clothes around them. You know, humble them. Bring them to humility. What is he doing? He's saying to Job, listen, if you think that I have done wrong in my judgment, why don't you go ahead and do my job? He's continuing on from the very basis of what he was talking about in the previous chapters. And the fact that, did you create these animals? Did you make them unique as I have? Or were you there at the beginning of creation? Do you have all this knowledge? Do you know everything? Do you have all this power? And here he's saying, go ahead, Job. If you can do it, go ahead. Go ahead and show me how being God is done. It says in verse 14, then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Because every time I've come to Job in his speeches, what did he say? I demand a court session. I want a mediator. I want to be able to defend myself. I want to be able to just talk to God. Just have somebody else come in my place. Everything will change as long as I can do this. As long as I work out my formula, everything will work as I deem it to work. Does life work like that? I went into pastor and I said, next week, can I preach first? He's like, what? Why are you asking that? Because you kind of stole my thunder here, okay? Because with this morning and talking about how sometimes people come in and they try to do everything correctly and things don't always go as the way that they want, we think that we can put in this formula that as long as I live this certain way, then everything is going to go correctly as I state it should go. So as long as I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray every day and for my meals, as long as it's 30 seconds or longer, and as long as I say that little prayer with my children, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Every single night before they go to bed, and even if they're sleeping, I'm still going to pray it with them, and maybe I'll move their lips to act like they are praying it or something. I'm just doing all these little things, all these things, so that life can go the way that I want it to go. So I can relieve all this stress. So I can get rid of all of that, right? So that I will have perfect health, that I will have the perfect retirement, that I will have my two-story house and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids. Whatever happened with that half? And a nice truck and a boat and a vacation home and motorcycle and a buck that would just walk right in front of me and but don't we act like that? As long as I do this and I can control my situation, and yet he's saying, go ahead, this is God, go ahead. Try to act like God, and then I'll confess that you're able to save yourself. Obviously, the answer is no, Job, you cannot save yourself. Can I go on a little bit of a side note here? A lot of times when people are coming in with problems, it's just as this pastor said this morning. They come in and they say, well, I don't have any Christian friends. Well, do you show up to church? Well, things just aren't right and I just don't know what to do. Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? Have you sought God's face? Do you see him as the one that tastes and see that the Lord is good? Oftentimes, the answer is no. There is something that is always lacking. You say, well, as long as I fill in that void there, then everything's going to go perfect. No. It's just when you do the best that you can do and have the most potential. Why do we come to church? To hear the teaching of God's word and to fellowship with one another, to provoke one another into love and good works, so that we could have that extra help in the next week. Because life is tough, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you just don't want to go to work because of the people that you have to work with, right? So how do I get through that? Well, you know, it's very helpful for me to go and get teaching from God's word, and hopefully with the Holy Spirit guiding the messenger of the word of God, that will have impact on my life and it will benefit me for the rest of the week. Why do we have Wednesdays? Well, usually for that recharge in the middle of the week, because we all know that having only one meal a week doesn't work. I get hungry. You say, well, can't I do that on my own? We can read the Word of God on our own, which is good. There is individual soul liberty. We need to seek God in His Word, and we need to pray individually. But God created us to be a part of a community, a church, to be challenged. Because how many of you have made a whole lot of dumb decisions when you haven't gone to another person and asked for wisdom? Okay, just two of us, all right. But honestly, how many times do we struggle so much because we don't seek the community that God has given us? So it's just as Pastor stated, most of our problems is because of ourselves. Except for Pastor, remember, only him, because he said that it's mostly everybody else's fault. But no, honestly, how many times are we facing a decision or a circumstance that was brought on upon ourselves by ourselves? It's my sin. It's my selfishness. It's my pride. It's my laziness, it's my apathy, it's my fill in the blank. So as we get in here, okay, there is the point to say we need to be doing everything possible to seek God, not for ritual and tradition and to fit into the formula as what Job's trying to do here, not to fit in a formula where everything goes the way that I want it to, but so I could be prepared for when things don't go the way that I think it should go, so I could react correctly. So I know who to go to. So I know that I have friends who would give me the right advice and wisdom, who have been seeking God's word. See, listen, who do you go to when life's trials beat you up? Do you go to the government? Can they fix your problems? Wait a minute. What about all the people that are relying on themselves? Do you go to them? No, no. The best place to go to is those who are seeking after God. But if I don't set myself up for that, and I run away from it, then I'm not preparing for when times do get rough. And they will. So as we get into this,
there's two challenges there to where you need to prepare for the upcoming battle. You need to put on the armor of God. But then don't put on the armor of God so that things will go exactly the way that you think it should go. The armor of God is to prepare against those who are coming against you. Okay, so as we get into this, that's something that you need to seek there. I mean, what is Job doing here? He's believing on what he can do. He can save himself. And God is stating that is not the case. As you go into verse 15, we take a look at the behemoth. Verse 15, it says, "Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his bones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God." What is this? What is he talking about? It's something that God made with mankind, humanity. So it was made on day number 6, right? He starts talking about all these different things. It says in verse 19, "He's the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make a sword to approach unto him." So only he who made him can actually approach. "Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fence. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares." Now, some think that this might be an elephant. Some think it might be a hippopotamus. There's all kinds of different thought processes because they're trying to look out and see what we have as far as the animal kingdom in front of us and see if it fits. But none of them fit. This is massive. This is a massive beast. You say, is this a spiritual illustration? No. He's actually talking about something that he made alongside humanity. So what does it look like? Well, if any of you started, as we were reading through that, started singing a song from Patch the Pirate, you will know that the answer is it's a mighty sauropod. So what is that? It's a dinosaur. You mean dinosaurs didn't become extinct like billions of years ago with like these asteroids hitting the earth or something to that extent? And you mean dinosaurs were around when humanity was around? Yes. It's the long neck. It's the sauropod. It's this huge beast with a tail like a cedar tree. He drinks up a load of water. What is he talking about? He's saying, "Behold the behemoth. Who can stand before him? God." You say, what happened to him? Well, I'll get to that in just a few minutes. You go into taking a look at the Leviathan. You say, what is that? "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn?" Can you fish for this thing? "Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee?" Can you imagine? Okay, when you start getting into this, your imagination going, And you hear God, I almost think that God is sarcastic here. Because is the Leviathan going to whisper sweet nothings into your ear? Obviously not. That would be really weird and scary, okay? But is he going to ask for things here, okay? "Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? People would shake, be in total fear at the sight of this Leviathan. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. God stating how he is totally in authority. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. So his eyes glow. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Anything coming to your imagination, fire being breathed out. Interesting. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves, that cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the havergen. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things under the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. So not only is the thing shooting out fire from its mouth, his scales are tight and impenetrable. I mean, this thing is a beast, but it's also from the sea. So he maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. He beholdeth high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. This is the top dog, if you want to say, of the animal kingdom. Say, what's the point? Well, can we get distracted by the fact that it is a sea serpent or sea dragon? Okay, we could probably get really caught up in that, but that's not the point. The truth of the matter is that if you want to really do some research, Answers in Genesis has a whole lot that you can study, okay? But the point is being made that God created the dinosaur and the sea serpent or dragon. Say they're real? Well, obviously they were. Say, well, weren't they fantasy? You know, the dragon, wasn't that a fantasy? Well, there's all kinds of history that's pointing to conquering dragons and different things like that going off, and there's legends, and there's so much behind it. Again, that's not really the point. The point is this: God made something big and insurmountable and uncontrollable for Job, and yet it was very controllable by God. Something so big and so mighty and so scary for Job was nothing for God. That's the point. You know what? What does Job say? Oh, that's so cool. Dragons and dinosaurs. Oh, that's amazing. Let's get distracted with that. No, this is what he says. Here's his response. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. This is a man who has witnessed the awesome power of God and is finally recognizing who he is. He goes on and says, who is he? He asks a question and then he answers it. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? That's exactly what God said to him just a few chapters ago. Job, you don't have all the truth here. How can you actually say anything and make this point when you don't have everything here, all the evidences together? He says, therefore have I uttered and that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I've heard, now I see. That's what he says. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So he hates himself. That's not the point. He's come to the point where he has left his pride, left his constant need to control the situation, left his constant need to defend himself, and bow the knee to God. Repentance and humility. This is not where the story ends, but it's exactly where we all need to be. When life is too insurmountable, it's too out of control, I can't do this, I can't do that, it's just too big for me, too scary for me, I don't even know what to do next. Guess what? God does. God can. God will. God, I don't need to be X, Y, and Z. I just need to seek your face. Now, if we're so busy trying to do this, 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 and this to make sure that we're checking off a list, let's give one example here. If we're so busy trying to do this to add up, is that better than someone who realizes that they don't add up, that it took the gospel, it took Jesus, who does add up, and I need to depend on him and have faith in him and just seek him rather than check, 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 check. Which person do we need to be? But what if I don't get all my check marks done? If you're seeking God, he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of you. He'll do exactly what he wants to do with the situation, because like Pastor said, all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. So that's where we all come down to. Where do we need to be? I am nothing. God is everything. Let me just bow my knee. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this truth that you've displayed for us. And it's powerful. And yes, it's amazing what you've created. The dinosaur, the sea serpent, the dragon, and all these things and all these descriptions that we could really get caught up in. And it's amazing. It's wonderful what you created. But the point is, you've got this. And everything that's so big and so scary and so insurmountable for us, and we can't do it, something that you can. And we've been called to do and follow you. God, help us to do that. Help us to realize who we are, who you are. Help us just to follow. Help us to seek you. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.